Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. It is 7:07 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, who welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here is who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday from 7 till 9 a.m. right here on News 104.5 WOKV, I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch the Yeti.
That's me.
6'6", 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector from Home Pro Inspections. You've seen me on HGTV as the house detective, and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, and we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you. Your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 340-1045. 340-1045.
And
if you're calling from Sitka, Alaska.
Sitka, Alaska. What is that?
I had my boat over at the Marina d'Ortiga Landing, and the guy parked behind me is boats from Sitka, Alaska.
That's a long float.
Yeah, it sure is.
Okay.
That area code would be 904-340-1045. Sasquatch, large man.
Yes. Three small things.
I'd like to share with you. They are...
Yes.
Water heater permits. Chinese drywall.
Chinese drywall?
And roof replacement.
Oh, okay.
So I had a lady call the office this week. Very nice lady. Said, hey, Wally, having my water heater replaced? I said, that's just dandy. I said, tell me more. What's on your mind? She said, the plumber told me they don't pull permits until after the job is complete and the work is paid for. Sound the alarm on that one.
Yeah, that sounds a little peculiar.
Permit essentially is a contraction of the word or a shortening of the word permission, meaning the contractor duly licensed to do such work goes to the building department, duly authorized to approve such work, receives the permit, the permission to perform the work. Mm. The permit comes first. And that's really important because the permit is what assures that the person that you are hiring is properly licensed to do the work, is properly insured to do the work, and then any inspections that may be appropriate from the building officials get done in accordance with it. So it's not an after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
It is a permission permit, not a pull after I be paid permit. So keep that thought in mind.
Yeah.
If you have permit questions, an easy place to go to learn more, permitsmadesimple.com. Number two, Chinese drywall.
Yeah.
At least twice a month.
Yes.
We get a call in the office. Hey, something stanky in my house, and I believe I have Chinese drywall. Well, know this. It is rare that what's stanky in your house here in Jacksonville is Chinese drywall. On the website at MrHomeInspection.com, we have sort of a self-exam you can do to determine if you have Chinese drywall. If in doubt, you know, give us a ring. We can help you through it. But I will tell you what's called in law, prima facie evidence.
Prima facie evidence.
Okay. It's Latin for slam dunk. Prima facie evidence, you have Chinese drywall. You can do this on your own. If you can safely get up into your attic, ideally above the garage, because there's really rarely, insulation, and look at the back of the drywall. Guess what's printed on the back of most sheets of Chinese drywall?
Made in China.
Made in China.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah. So, you know, people say, can you test for Chinese drywall? Yes, we can. It is terribly expensive. It's almost $1,000 to send a single sample to the lab.
Oh, my gosh.
So, scooch, if you are concerned about it, do that initial kind of self-check. Scooch up in the attic and look for the words. And, man, even you got this one.
Yes.
Made in China.
Yes. How about
now,
that?
There are products that have been faked that say made in USA that were made in China. But I will make you this guarantee, not only in drywall, but there is not a single product made in the USA where some manufacturer said, I got a great idea. Let's put made in China on it. That'll sell it like crazy.
Yeah.
So if it says it's made in China, I would believe it. Speaking of made in China, the boat I have my eyeball on.
It's made in China?
Taiwan specifically, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Big old trawler.
Okay.
And my last thought here in my triad of things on my mind is roof replacement. This past week, we had some of the hardest, most intense rains we've had all year.
Yeah.
And regrettably, there were many people, in fact, hundreds of people around the greater Jacksonville area, or certainly within the sound of our voices, who were in the middle of a roof replacement, went, uh-oh, here comes the big one. And houses got drenched and got water on the inside.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's not ideal, and it's not fun, and it often results in staining and other problems. Know this. When your house gets wet where it should not, and if the water is clean, fresh water, like rainwater,
yeah,
typically it will dry. You know, they're going to finish the roof. You're going to have your air conditioning on, which dehumidifies. And absent the staining, you'll be fine. There's rarely a concern, oh my God, I'm going to have mold, the world's coming to an end, I'm going to rip out all the drywall, all the insulation. Relatively rare. One of the things we did several times this week where homes were inadvertently flooded before the roof was done. We came in, we did infrared scans so they can see exactly which areas are wet inside the walls, and they can mark those with a little pencil, or we take photos for you. And it will dry out over time, depending how wet it was. Sometimes it's just a couple of days. Other times it's a week or so. It will dry out. Rarely is it reason for, you know, a great event. If you're not comfortable with that initial scan, you know, we can come back in a week or two and do it again to affirm that it's all dried out. So ideally, do not replace your roof during a torrential downpour.
Well, there's no way to predict that.
There's entire industries. There's billions of dollars spent on predicting it. You didn't know it was going to rain Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of last week? You're kidding me.
There's only a, you know, when they say it's going to rain, did you ever figure it out? Did you ever figure it out? I was talking to the weather people, you know, and they said, I think when they predict rain, it's within, I'm not sure, 100% sure.
Let me show you.
400-mile radius.
I understand. It's
but
an inaccurate
But I mean, okay, it's not accurate. All right.
So Monday morning, here's what we all knew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was going to storm in the late afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
But let's say if you are tearing off the roof and it's Friday and, you know, and you didn't check the weather and it's going to be next Friday, you know, so it can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Or you change the day.
Yeah, you change the day.
That's just the nature
of
working
outside.
And
then it can be sunny the next day anyway. You know what I mean?
Okay. If you got drenched, we can help bring comfort or at least clarity to how drenched you
are. Yeah.
So what's on your mind, Doug Breath?
Hey, well, you know, I'm really disappointed that you have not changed your fingernail polish, you know, the season.
No.
You know what I mean? Aren't you going to put a little pink on there?
Just going clear.
Just going clear.
I've always gone clear.
Maybe
it
it's because
pink.
The nail bed is so glowingly pink.
That's right.
Pink, yes, okay.
That's a healthy nail bed.
Okay. All right, I'm glad you got all that squared away. Hey, listen, in the landscape, you know, we're looking at some things you could do in the garden or in your landscape. You know, muley grass is, of course, is one of the most top rated grasses. You know, that pink grass
as a border,
that pink flowy grass in the fall it blooms. It's just it's probably one of the best grasses. The plant that I've never looked at, you know, it's very ornamental. But in case you decided you love grasses and you want to add them to your landscape. They're relatively low maintenance, and they give you that nice flowing texture, you know, when it's the wind's blowing, and they also have flowers. So they're a great element and very, very low maintenance. Some of the grasses that are really not planted that much in our area are going to be Miscanthus. That's a group of them. And some of the advantage of growing Miscanthus is that when it gets winter, it dies to the ground. So keeping grasses neat and clean is an issue because, like a muley grass and some of the ornamental grasses we have in our area, you know, they get old and they get those old leaves in there and they kind of look tattered. Then they don't look as good the first day as you planted them. They look nice, crisp, no brown leaves in there, old foliage in there. But with Miscanthus, they die to the ground every season. And so the advantage is you cut them back and they look crisp every year. Even though in the what
cut them back in the fall?
You cut them back. You can let them stand in the winter, you know, as a dead plant, you know. There was
that's
a great
attractive.
There's a great gardener who says he says, you know, you never know if it's a good plant until it looks good when it's dead. You know what I mean? The Miscanthus grass is going to die to
that's
the ground.
That's what that whole story of Cinderella was about, right? Cinderella. What's
get your
one?
Facts straight.
What's the one where the princess dies and gets kissed by the prince and all that? Romeo and Juliet.
Okay. All right. Okay. Got it.
Playing a little Shakespeare on you.
Okay. But the Miscanthus does great in our area. Some of them do better than others, but the is a strictus. That's a very upright variety, so you can plant it in the border. Another great one, which I really like, is Adagio, and I plant a lot of it.
Adagio?
Adagio.
That's a cool name.
It's a Japanese grass, actually, and it's...
Sounds like a liqueur.
Yeah.
I'd like a shot of Adagio, please.
We can give you a shot of it, but it's a green and white variegated, only getting around 2 to 3 feet, so easy to manage, and they have nice flowers around midsummer. Zebra is a one that has, upright again, and it has yellow bands that pass through the leaves going horizontal, so it's very interesting. And another one, if you like that... The purple grass, we have purple fountain grass here, is called Purescence. That is a kind of a purple color fountain grass. And, again, beautiful flowers, cut to the ground, low maintenance, not many problems with the disease or insects. And it can stand a drought. We just had one a pretty good drought.
We had a flood.
It rains just as much in Washington State that it does in Jacksonville, which is hard to believe if you've ever been to Washington State.
Oh, yeah.
It rains pretty much every day. But in Florida, we get 10 inches in one day. So we get all of our rain quickly. So these are some great additions to the landscape. And if you like the grass elements in there and very, very low maintenance.
I'm attracted to low maintenance.
Low maintenance. You are, yeah. Well, you know.
In everything.
It's about time to run that lawnmower over those eyebrows of yours. They're getting a little furry.
That's not true. I'm neatly groomed over here. Low maintenance.
You're looking a little better since you've had all those things of that redness is worn off.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling
you've
better.
You've had
too.
That dermabrasion, all that other stuff going on.
Yeah.
But, some of the other things going on in the landscape, there's the chinch bugs. Make sure you're treating for chinch bugs. They're out there getting vigorous right now. So, use arena or.
And let me ask you about the chinch bug. Then we got.
They're everywhere.
This big heavy rain, did that enhance the chinch bugs?
They don't
life,
like
or
it.
Did it kind
they
of
like it
out?
Hot and dry.
So hot that and will, dry. So that was good.
They'll still be out there, but not when it was hot and dry. They love that growing that environment. Okay.
I hope they drown.
Right.
It's 7:20 here at News 104.5 WOKV. Very brief break. Jumping right on the phones to your calls at 340-1045. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 7:26 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Special Memorial Weekend edition of the Home and Garden Show. Glad that you are sharing it with us. Down to Middleburg, checking in with Jerry.
Pink with sprinkles.
Jerry, hello. You're re-sodding, are you?
Good morning. Yes. Well, I just had a new house built, and it's in Middleburg, and the lot is 1.2 acres.
Wow.
Right now, it's just 1.2 acres of sand. Mm-hmm. And when the builder came in, who I wouldn't recommend to my worst enemy, he put bahia down initially as the buffer around the house. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if maybe just to go ahead and go with bahia throughout the whole yard. Mm-hmm. But my wife is thinking about going with the zoysia and just trying to figure out in that area, you know, which would be the best grass to go with.
Zoysia would be gorgeous. Well, yeah. But it sounds like a heavy ticket.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. 1.2 acres is a lot to cover in zoysia, you know what I mean? But around the house, no problem. But you could, you know, the perimeter, you could plant bahia. And then, you know, it's one thing about zoysia. Once it gets established, it will push. It will start to grow out beyond. It will push out the bahia. Okay.
So the buffer around the house, could I take a zoysia seed and just seed that to get it to establish and choke it out?
That would be difficult. That would be very difficult. I wouldn't. I mean, not unless you're really diligent.
It's time for a landscape plan.
Yeah.
Really, you have a clean slate,
right.
A big area. It's going to be expensive. Get a nice plan.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to. You should have some type of planning. But the seed thing is on zoysia is a little more difficult to germinate. But I can tell you how to do it. You know, take the if you're going to get a I would clear the area first, you know, of the bahia, and then drag it level. Yeah, because if you got a big area, you got to drag it level. And then I would take the seed, the zoysia seed, and I would put it in the sun for about 3 to 4 days. You know, that will activate it. Because germination of zoysia is very spotty. It will germinate a little bit, germinate a little bit, germinate a little bit. And you can knock about 2 weeks off the time of germination by just letting it sit in the sun, moving it around, so it gets complete exposure. Then if you wanted to soak it in some water and then broadcast it would be your best bet, and you'll get germination fairly quickly. I would say in around 10 to 14 days versus 21 days.
Right. Well, so, initially the front yard and like the side yard around the house, I was going to sod.
Yes.
And kind of go from that point.
Oh, the front yard and the side yard, I would sod. That would be your best. I'm going to recommend that versus seeding.
Because around the perimeter, you know, it's like a 10-foot perimeter around the house. That's
right.
Where he put the bahia.
Yeah.
And I didn't know whether, like I said, I could seed that in with some zoysia or I needed to dig all that out.
Well, I just don't know how much work you want to do. You know, if you want to, I would dig it all out if I would start. But that's what I would do. I'd get it removed, spray Roundup on it, and then wait around 2 to 3 weeks before you put the seed down, because Roundup will stay active. You know,
if I dig all that out, I'm just going to sod it.
Yeah. Well, if you dig it up, sodding is the best way to do it. I mean, I'm going to tell you because you're just seeding that much area. If you're not really good at it, you'll be good when you get done, but you'll make a lot of mistakes. All right. But I'm recommending sod.
Yeah, me too. And I would get a plan would be my first course of action. Yeah. It's 7:30 here at News 104.5, Fox News Traffic, Weather, then more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 340-1045. We'll be right back. It's 7:35 here on the Home and Garden Show. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here with us, and we are grateful that you've decided to share the morning with us.
Yep.
From Ponte Vedra is Brian with a termite question. Welcome, Brian. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Wally and Larry.
Morning. Yes.
Wally, I sure wish Larry would stop picking on you about your pedicure.
Hey, he's got his eyebrows well mowed today. You know, they're down to about 2 inches.
No. All righty, back to the termites.
Yeah, I'd rather talk about the Flashdance spandex.
Yes.
I lived in Hidden Hills, and I had a home there that on the day that it was going to be shown for sale, I had a termite bloom.
A swarm. Congratulations. Perfect timing.
Yeah. So I had to get out of the house and cancel the inspection. But anyways, now I'm living here in Ponte Vedra Beach, and last night I had the garage door up, and I was doing some work in the garage, and about 5 of these looked like flying ants came in, and they went to the workbench where the light was on. And immediately their wings dropped, and their little maggot bodies fell on top of the workbench, and I scooped them up and threw them away. And then about a half an hour later, the workbench was covered with them.
Nice. Congratulations.
Were they already starting to devour it?
No, they were just laying there spinning around.
Well, they're breeding. They're, you know, doing their mating dance. Brian.
Did you recognize that? Keep a couple of the bugs?
Yeah, now the wings are twice as long as the body, and the body is about the size of a piece of rice, and they are.
So here's the easy way and the best source for identification.
Yeah, yeah.
The University of Florida is the genius location, the definer of all things termite in Florida. IFAS, which stands for Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, people are often
or curious. IFAS.
IFAS. If you Google IFAS, IFAS, termite guide, it'll take you right to the source. The reason I like IFAS as opposed to a termite company's website, and some of those are actually quite good, there's nothing for sale. It's a research institute. So they have excellent identification, excellent in every imaginable area. I've actually been down there multiple times on various training events. But IFAS, I-F-A-S, and then whatever bug you're interested in, it'll get you right to the exact location, identification, treatment protocols, inspection protocols. It is the answer. They work hand in hand with FSAC? No, DFACS. Anyway. They work hand-in-hand with the state. So at the University of Florida at IFAS, they have the smart information, and the state regulatory makes the rules, and they work together to ideally protect us, though sometimes it's kind of funky. So that's what I would do. IFAS.
What is the full website?
It's really long, which is why I gave you the Google suggestion. IFAS, termite guide.
It'll
get you right there. That is a very robust website on all things related to bugs and agriculture.
Very well. I'll do it. In the meantime, would you all please salute the troops and pray for the fallen?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Which is a reminder, since you brought that up, Memorial Day is a day of reflection, of gratitude, of thanks for those who have lost their lives. Many of us have friends, family members, shipmates, classmates, and whatnot who have lost their lives. It is not a day of celebration. It is a day of solemn gratitude and thanks. So I appreciate you reminding me on that, Brian.
All right. Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
You too, sir.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Up to Arlington, checking in with Roland, fish oil and fish emulsion. Hey, Roland, here's what I've learned most important about the use of fish emulsion.
Yeah.
Yes. If you're spraying it in your flip-flops, do not get it on your feet.
I'm sure Larry knows all about that. Larry, is there a difference?
Yes, absolutely.
Between fish oil and fish emulsion?
Fish oil is, you know, that's more refined. Fish emulsion means a blend of many elements, and it's just basically
fish in a blender.
Ground up, you know what I mean? The whole components, well, the oil portion of the is removed through stratification, and that's the oil portion, or they use it on centrifuge. The fish emulsion is great on everything. You know, your lawn, if you can stand it, I mean, it's probably the best lawn food you could, you know, you put out there.
I spray it on my citrus, right on the
leaves.
Your
citrus, it's great. You know, the Indians had the right idea. You know, they're burying a fish next to every, stalk of corn as their fertilizer.
The problem, if you do that, if you have raccoons or possums, they'll dig it up.
Yeah, raccoons will. Mm-hmm.
My question is, Larry, what do you recommend fish emulsion per ounce per gallon of water for potted plants? What do you recommend?
I'm thinking around 2 teaspoons per gallon, or you know what I mean. It's pretty good. It's on containerized plants.
Are they indoors or outdoors?
Outdoors.
Yeah, it is a little smelly.
I did fish emulsion on the potted plants in my office, and the staff was accusing me of being stanky.
Yeah. Well, you know,
would
they
you do
say
it
it's
10 days like the Miracle-Gro, would you do
yes,
it 10 days like
yes. Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Day?
You can't really overdo it. There are some plants that don't like a lot of fertilizer, but I can't think of any agaves and in succulents, they don't like a lot of fertilizer, so I do them less, but you know your perennials and your shrubs and stuff, they'll enjoy it. Okay?
Okay, one last comment. I think y'all did real good a while ago. You was talking about recognizing the troops, the fallen troops. And like I said, it's not a celebration. It's a remembrance.
Fallen. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Thanks, Roland.
Good. Thanks. All right. Y'all have a blessed weekend. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you, sir. In Beauclair, there's some ornamental holly being tended by a man named John. John, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Good morning, Wally. This one, I guess, is for Larry.
Yes.
Larry, I've got two large ornamental hollies. They're about 15 foot. You know, they're symmetrical on either side of the house. The problem I'm having is the one on the right side's got, I noticed some carpenter ants in it, some dead, you know, sections of the trunk on, you know, one section of it. And when I pulled that away, I found some white, almost translucent bugs in there that, you know, had, it looked like little, oh, they were less than half an inch, you know,
right,
tiny.
Right.
And
under the leaves?
No. These were the only place I found them. I didn't see anything under the leaves. I just found them in the wood itself.
In the wood itself. Okay. That sounds like the larva of the ant or maybe a termite, you know. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was wondering about application of a pesticide, you know, as far as
yes,
you know, spraying it on, or is it something you do systemically?
Yeah. I would use go to a local, you know, garden center, you know, Home Depot, Lowe's, and get this product called Bayer Insect Control for trees and shrubs. And in the active ingredient in that is going to be Merit. And you drench the root ball, and it goes up into the plant and in the leaf tissue and all the organic living portions of the tree, and stays there for about a year, and so you'll have protection, and it will kill anything that any insect that is gnawing on or eating it. Okay, and it will. It's very, very effective. Very effective.
All right, very good. All right, I appreciate it, and God bless you guys, and
thank you.
Also, our troops as we remember this Memorial Day. Have a good weekend, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, right, John.
Thanks.
On the west side of Jacksonville, there is
Jack,
a legend.
Jack.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Hey,
good.
Jack.
Good morning.
Hey, Jack. May I ask you another personal question?
Sure.
When you go into the store and you talk to people, do they recognize your voice and they say, "Hey, man, are you Jack from the west side?"
I had somebody the other day who said, "You know, I recognize your voice, but didn't know who you was."
I'm Jack from the west side. By gosh.
Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, good question, sir. Yeah, and his previous caller said, let's don't forget all those that gave their lives to give us this opportunity to talk free like we do.
Yes.
And the families left behind who were, this is a day of mourning and remembrance for them. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult day.
And I cannot forget them. They gave almost as much. Mm-hmm. Two questions. Well, first off, a comment. On this big rain we had the other day, I had about 4 inches in the bucket, but it only brought the swimming pool up about 2 inches, so I don't know how to figure something like that.
Leak. You got a leak in the pool.
No, I don't have. It's already been checked. Anyway, my question, I got a beautiful hibiscus plant the other day, but don't know where to put it. Can we put it in a pot, Larry, and move it?
Yeah, they do well in a pot. They
put
do
it in
well.
My yard.
they do well in a pot, absolutely. But they, you know, they can take it on the dry side. Hibiscus can, you know, pretty drought resistant. So, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I'll do that. And when I put it in, it's already in a pot. Do I need to break? But I want to put it in a bigger pot.
Yeah, you're going to pull the roots apart and,
Roots apart, that would
yeah, get some good potting soil in there and give it a little bit of fertilizer and get it going. What color did you get, Jack?
All right, yeah, I'll do that. Well, I'm picking tomatoes and beans and everything else today. I'm going to dig some taters.
I'm a jealous man.
Digging those taters. It's time to get them up. It's getting pretty warm in that rain, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason I'm going to go after them. I don't want them to rot.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. Hug the wife.
You too. Thanks.
Bye, sir. All righty. How about that?
Yes.
The hibiscus.
Yeah. It's a great plant. Great plant. Plenty, you know, a lot of people love them. You know, the ones that that really do good in our area are going to be the orange and the pink and the red. They're the standardized hibiscus that people have been growing for years, but they have so many varieties of colors and types. Just, you know, you just can't imagine some of the colors they develop in hibiscus. And if you're willing to spend a little more time on, you know, working with them, they'll produce a good amount of flowers. But if you want a lot of flowers, you want to stick to those pink, red, orange, yellow, the ones that the antique, or not antique, well, the ones that have been growing in cultivation for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years.
Well-established for success. Well-established,
simple. Mm-hmm. But they do have some unbelievable hibiscus out there, you know, that in color that's, you know, just can't believe the varieties they have.
Good.
Purple and green and every color you can imagine.
I like that. Window film. I did a little troubleshooting this week for a family. Had that the classic problem. I can't get this one bedroom in my house to cool in a balanced
plant
way.
Plant a tree.
Yeah. And planting a tree is always
it's
a good
the perfect
option. Cast shade on the window in particular,
right,
and the walls overall. This was a second story window, so they may have had a 20 or 30 year wait to get the tree.
Well, we have them big.
When you're attempting to make an uncomfortable room comfortable, typically meaning you just can't get this particular bedroom cool, there
yes.
are two things to consider. One is getting more cool air into the space, and the other is having less heat get into the space. In the less heat category, if the window, which is typical, facing a sunny side where it's getting a lot of sun exposure, if you can shade it, that will help tremendously. If you can't shade it, or you can't afford to shade it, a quality window film will keep a tremendous amount of heat out of that particular room. When it comes to getting more coolness in there, usually the issue isn't the duct not being large enough. Often the issue is there's not a return in that room. And very inexpensively, you can put in a return, often called a jump duct, just a jump that goes in the ceiling, over the door, so that air can flow back. If you could imagine the air handler trying to push cold air into that room, if you've got the door closed and there's no return, it's like blowing up a balloon. At some point, you just can't get any more in there. You're not getting good flow. If able, leave doors open. In this case, it was a teenage daughter's room. Good luck keeping that door open all the time. So the simple solution was put on some window film to reduce the amount of heat that was coming in, and inexpensively add the jump duct to get that air out. And
what about one of those Mitsubishi...
A mini split system?
The new ones that run on very little electricity.
Well, that's a Daikin system.
A Daikin.
Oh, that which reminds me. We'll talk about that later.
Daikin.
I just installed two Daikin systems in my house.
They run on DC. They have a converter.
It has an inverter.
Inverter. Okay.
Anyway.
Inverter. Okay.
The answer is yes, a mini split would be effective in that role.
Mm-hmm.
But often you can solve it a little bit less expensive if it's only a small single room.
Yeah.
So it's managing what's already there to its optimal before spending additional
money. So there's an advantage to having ivy-covered walls because, you know,
certainly the plants aspirating and shading and keeping the wall cooler.
Right, yeah. And also it keeps it warm during the winter.
Yeah.
Because it holds the warmth.
You do that on a wood frame, stucco-covered wood frame house in Florida, plan on moving in 3 to 5 years as the tendrils. Is it tendrils?
Yes.
The tendrils work their way into all those little cracks and crevices and rot your house.
Well, I'll tell you.
Especially if it's a Kikino type finish. Good luck with that.
If you want to get rid of the tendrils, I've by mistake, I discovered how to get rid of them. It's just a little bit of... muriatic acid in there, and you spray them, and they
after you remove the plant.
After you remove the
plant. You're killing it.
And when I was fixing some brickwork on my house, I'd sprayed it clean up the muriatic acid, and had some tendrils on there, and I'd sprayed it on there, and it didn't do anything immediately, but it came back in about a week later, and it was just
powdered off. Yeah.
Powdered
right
off.
Did it lighten the brick or the
mortar? No.
Really?
Muriatic acid doesn't lighten brick.
That's good news.
Not clay brick. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's 7:50 here at News 104.5. Very brief break. Right back to your calls at 340-1045. Again, slower. 340-1045. We'll be right back. 7:55 here at News 104.5. How do you like those fives?
Yeah, perfect.
High five on the Home and Garden Show. A reminder for you. If at any time you have a burning desire for information from a large landscaper for whatever you're doing in the yard, hardscape, landscape, pergolas, If it goes in your yard, ponds, there's a fair chance they do it and do it well at Larry's Garden. You can take a peek at all those good things. Larry'sGarden.com. Larry'sGarden.com. Got the blog, got the video, the frequently asked questions. 2,000 active bloggers. It's like Match.com for garden geeks.
Yeah.
Not in a negative way, but, you know, people there interacting positively about plants. That's all cool. Also, if you'd like to make direct connect via voice, 346-1970. That is again, 346-1970. If you're outside of the immediate Jacksonville area, you will need the area code 904-346-1970. Should you be out shopping for a home this week, you may need a home inspection. If you're buying a building for your business, a commercial building inspection, or possibly some environmental sampling like water, like lead, like asbestos, like mold, any of those type things, you can solve those problems at one simple location, and that location is, wait for it.
Yes, I'm listening.
MrHomeInspection.com. It's a great resource site for whatever you need. We actually have other home inspectors around the area who use our site as a resource. The wonders of Google, you know who's looking.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Anyway, we have a friendly and active staff of certified master inspectors. Take great care of you for anything that you may need. The website, MrHomeInspection.com. The telephone, 268-8211. If you're outside of the immediate Jacksonville area, we're coverage area up toward Brunswick, out beyond Lake City, down to Palm Coast and beyond, you would need 904-268-8211, which is a reminder for Larry's Garden as well as Home Pro Inspections. If you're listening on terrestrial radio, basically we can take care of you at Larry's Garden or Home Pro Inspection. So if you hear us, we hear you. Now, if you're listening on the WOKV app, which I love and use all the time when I travel, or WOKV.com. So if you're in Sitka, Alaska, or you're in Chile and other places we've had callers from, Home Pro Inspections will serve you in that location, as will Larry'sGarden.com. All you need do is arrange travel through NetJet. We cannot fly coach on those long distances. If you're buying a castle in Scotland, I've actually inspected one of those before. We're happy to be out there. And if your castle in Scotland has shaggy landscaping, Larry'sGarden.com.
Friends don't let friends buy.
And we don't travel on the same jet. It's 7:58 here at News 104.5. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 340-1045. We'll be right back.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.